John chapter 7. I'm going to read some famous words from Jesus. I'm not going to talk for very long this morning, about 12 minutes or thereabouts. But I'd love for us to reflect on these words, starting in verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." Others said, "He is the Messiah." Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we come to you. We come to you because we long to know that love that's never failing that we were just singing about and that Dave was talking about a few moments ago. We come to you as we are with our fears and failures and ask you, fill our lives again. Fill us with your presence and with your power. Fill us with your Spirit. I give you this time, we pray, speak to us. Would you instruct us? But Lord Jesus, we want to meet with you. We want to enjoy rich, deep fellowship with you. We want to have the kind of encounter with you that leaves us changed. So we bring ourselves to you in these moments. Come have your way with us, that all the glory might go to you. Amen. So John says in that passage, Jesus said these words on the last and greatest day of the feast. The feast that is being referred to is the Feast of Tabernacles, the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles that was celebrated every year at the start of the autumn to celebrate the ingathering of the harvest. What I want us to do is try and put ourselves in the shoes of a Jew in the first century who's gone to Jerusalem to participate in these festivities. And perhaps you're there with your children, and the first thing you say is, "Kids, I want you to go off. I want you to collect as many palm branches and sticks as you can. We're going to build a shelter. And we're going to build it here, and we're going to live in the shelter for 7 days. Their eyes grow wide with excitement. "Why are we going to do that, Daddy? Why are we going to do that?" Well, we're going to do that because we're going to remember that when our ancestors journeyed through the wilderness, when God led them out of slavery in Egypt, and they were journeying for 40 years, they didn't have buildings to live in. They didn't have spectacular structures like this temple. No, they lived in tents. So we're going to build a kind of tent. We're going to live in it for 7 days to remind us what it would have been like for our ancestors. So off they go and they collect the palm branches and the sticks, and together you build a shelter. And it looks a bit shabby, but it's all going to get torn down in 7 days anyway. And in the evenings, you sit in there with your children and you tell the stories of how God led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. "Weren't they thirsty, Daddy? Weren't they thirsty in the desert?" Yes, they were, but God provided water for them in the desert. "How did he do that, Daddy?" Well, do you remember Moses, who was leading them, had a staff? Do you remember the staff of Moses that he used to part the waters of the Red Sea so that the Israelites could escape from slavery in Egypt? They nod, "Yeah, we remember that." Well, God told Moses to take that same staff and go to a rock called Horeb. And Moses struck the rod and water flowed from the rock. And you're telling these stories, and then the seventh and final day of the feast comes, and you go in the temple and torches are lit all around the temple. And then you take part in the procession around the altar. Once you go around, twice, three times, seven times you process around the altar, and a priest takes a bowl full of water and pours it over the altar. The water sploshes down on the altar. Living water flows and moves from the altar to the people. And then you hear a voice speak out. Everyone's heads are turned. There's a man standing up, declaring in a loud voice so he can make his words heard over the din. "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. If anyone believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within them." Jesus has chosen this moment, the most spiritually and emotionally charged moment, to make this declaration. And now people in the crowd are muttering, "Who is he?" Or rather, they're saying, "Who does he think he is?" Some of them saying, "He's the prophet that Moses said would come." Others are saying, no. "He is the Messiah. He is the new and better Moses that God had promised us, the one who has come to save us from our enemies." What a story. What I want to do this morning is simply take those two statements that Jesus makes and reflect on them with you. And the first of those statements is the statement, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." In the desert, the Israelites knew what it meant to experience physical thirst. And God provided for them in the desert. He provided physical water to quench their physical thirst. Jesus is talking about spiritual thirst. Do you know what it's like to thirst spiritually? Many of you do. Many of you know what it's like to thirst for peace and joy, to thirst for the inner conviction that your Father in heaven loves you and is with you and for you, no matter what. For many of us, you know, often on the outside everything looks fine, but we're dying on the inside. We're thirsting spiritually. We're thirsting for the life that God can bring. We're thirsting for God himself. And John says in his commentary on Jesus' words, by this he meant the Spirit. John says that in verse 39. By this he meant the Spirit. Jesus is talking about the Spirit of God, also called the Holy Spirit. The means by which God himself comes and makes his home in our lives. In our very beings. Bringing us love and peace and joy, bringing us a sense of meaning and fulfillment, bringing us a sense of being at ease with the world, that God comes and takes up residence in our lives by his Spirit. "Let anyone who is thirsty," says Jesus, "come to me and drink." And notice that invitation is for everyone. Let anyone who's thirsty. Is anyone thirsty? Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how much you understand, how much you don't understand. It doesn't matter how religious you are or how non-religious you are. It doesn't matter whether you've had a powerful, life-changing experience of the Spirit in the past or you're not really sure that you have experienced in the Spirit in the past. The invitation is for everyone. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink, says Jesus. How do we receive? Jesus says, "Come to me." He is the one who gives the Spirit. Do we receive the Spirit just once and then that's it? Well, I don't think so. Because if you think about the metaphor of drinking, if you experience physical thirst and then take a drink, you fully expect to grow thirsty and need to drink again. And so it is with the Spirit, that we receive the Spirit when we come to Jesus, but we need to keep coming to him. Keep responding to his invitation to receive more of the life of God, more of God's empowering presence. I think that that's a compelling reason why we need to keep coming to Jesus for the Spirit. Not ultimately conclusive. I think what makes it conclusive is that when you look at Jesus' words in the context of what the Bible as a whole has to say about the Holy Spirit, and Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, "Be being filled with the Spirit." It's continuous tense. Paul's using different language from Jesus, but they're talking about the need to keep coming, keep responding, keep receiving the life-giving presence and power of God in our lives. "Let anyone who is thirsty," says Jesus, "come to me and drink, and he will satisfy the thirst of thirsty souls." Second statement that Jesus says is, "If anyone believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within them." And he's saying this at the point where water is flowing from the altar to the people. He's saying this during the festival when the Israelites have been retelling the stories of Moses striking the rock in the desert and the water flowing to the people. The first of Jesus' statements is about the life of God, the Spirit of God given to us, bringing life to us. The second of Jesus' statements is about the life of God flowing from us to others. You and I are called to serve one another and to serve the world. We're called to minister the love and the grace of God to others. We can only do that to the extent that we are receiving the Spirit of God. As we receive the Spirit, He gives us life, and then that life pours out from us into the world to impact those that we come into contact with. Are you thirsty this morning? Let anyone who is thirsty, says Jesus, come to me and drink. If anyone believes in me, as the scripture has said, water will flow to impact on your church community, on your neighbors, on your friends, on your work colleagues, and those you come into contact with over the coming days and weeks. I want to urge you, if you know what it is to spiritually thirst this morning, don't go from this place without having responded to the invitation of Jesus. Please don't go from this place without having come to Him, said, Jesus, I need the power and the presence of God in my life. I need the life that comes from you. My soul is thirsty. Come and quench my thirsty soul. We're going to break bread in a moment. We're going to share that simple meal that Jesus instituted. Why did Jesus die on the cross? He died that we might be forgiven of our sins. Yes, but there's more than that. He died so that we might be adopted into the family of God's people. Yes, and there's even more than that. He died that we might have the assurance of death having no hold on us. He conquered the grave. And so we are confident in the hope that God has given us. Yeah, but there's more than that. Jesus died also, and He rose again, and He was raised. He was exalted to the right hand of the majesty in heaven and given the name that is above every name, so that He's over all rule and authority and power, so that from that place He can pour out the Spirit of God on the people of God, that we might share in His life, that we might know true spiritual life. So as we come and take the bread, let's be thankful. Jesus, thank you that you died. Lord Jesus, come and meet with me in this moment. I want rich, deep fellowship with you. I want to know the life of God. I want to receive your Spirit in this moment. And it may be that there are some of you here who would be helped a little bit later on during our time together, and I'm sure Dave will be delighted to administrate this. You'd be helped by having someone stand with you and pray with you and help you come to Jesus and respond to His invitation to receive the Spirit. So should we bow our heads? Let's pray. Let's come to Him now. We're not going to get all weird. We're just going to come simply as Jesus has invited us. I love the verse of a great hymn that says, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and drink the living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in Him. Lord Jesus, we come to you. We thank you for that invitation that you gave on the last and greatest day of the feast. We note too that John said, by this, Jesus meant the Spirit, whom had not yet been given because you had not yet been glorified. But now you have been. Now you are glorified. Now you are exalted. We thank you that the promise, the offer of the Spirit is for us today. Available for us today. Lord Jesus, we pray that in these moments that you come and meet with us in the power of your Spirit, that we would know the life and the power and the presence and the love of God filling us. We're thirsty. Thank you that you died that we might know the fullness of your life this day and always. So we come to you now in these moments. Come meet with us, we pray. For we pray this for your glory's sake. Amen.